South Bronx, around 86. In the clubs, you go to a club and Brooklyn ruled. They just ruled. Anytime a hit record or something came on, it was go Brooklyn, go Brooklyn. So what me and Scott attempted to do was, in that sense, start a little controversy with that. That's how we got the concept of South Bronx. Then there was a little controversy, a battle going on between me and Shan, because Shan came out with the record called To The Bridge. And his first statement was, the monument for hip hop is right in your face. Sit and listen for a while to the name of the place. The bridge, Queensbridge. So we took that one statement and that fueled our fire to make South Bronx. No, it didn't start in Queensbridge. It started in the Bronx. And basically that's how that whole thing took off.
And then it continued with The Bridge Is Over.
You're right, because he came out with Kill That Noise.
Yeah.
Answering us for some foolish reason. So we came up with The Bridge Is Over and ultimately won the war.
You've had a real go at the Juice Crew and Mr. Magic.
Tragic Magic.
I mean, we're talking some heavy lyrics here. And you're KRS-One, so you're into 98.7 Kiss FM.
Yes.
And Red Alert.
Red Alert.
So, you know, how big is this battle? I mean, do you really hate each other or is it just on vinyl?
When South Bronx came out and The Bridge Is Over came out, it wasn't a hatred thing. It was more of a competition. They feared us. It wasn't like, you know, usually when two groups hate each other, they both have the same amount of confidence. It wasn't like this. We were a new group. We came out with strong records, and it was basically a fear thing. That's how we didn't get to speak to each other constantly. Like normally, if it was just confined to Wax, we would do shows together, we would do this, we would do that. But a lot of times, things were set up in Queensbridge, in their hometown, where I would come into their hometown and we would end this right once and for all with a couple of freestyle routines. They backed down constantly. I guess after seeing my stage show, whatever it was, they would never face us face to face. So after The Bridge Is Over into the beginning of Criminal Minded album, this whole thing tempered off and we became on shaking hands terms. I can't say trust them on a friendship level, because at any time you could hear them come out with a record about me. At any given time. You know, the thing is it's not actually over. But they just don't want me to open my mouth again.
Right.
So that it's like it's just been calmed down to a point.
Okay, well, there are all kinds of rumors about that flying around, so I thought we ought to set that straight. It's not quite as bad as some people have been making it in the press.
No.
Don't believe everything you read in the papers. Night FM, the choice of a new generation. KRS-One is in town with us here tonight. And with that Criminal Minded album, of course, that went on to sell loads of copies in America. And that was on a small label, B-Boy Records.
Mm-hmm.
And you subsequently have gone on to Jive Records. Were you, when Scott the Rock was still alive, were you still going to leave B-Boy at that time?
Mm-hmm. Actually, it was Scott's idea to leave after Criminal Minded, because a guy named Lee Smith, That was our side of B-Boy Records, because B-Boy Records was a partnership with Rock Candy Records. It was basically Rock Candy Records.